From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. In a world where the average person changes jobs 10 to 15 times in their lifetime, a person who spends more than four decades in a job is a rarity. For 43 years, Marie Adams has worked in the city clerk's office of Fort Myers, starting as the secretary to the clerk, working her way up to deputy clerk, and then clerk in 1990. She's come to be known as the city's unofficial historian, and today we'll talk with her about the changes she's seen and some of the stories she's accumulated over the years. Plus, have you ever wondered what drove people to come to Florida before conveniences like paved roads and air conditioning? What was the pull or the push that brought Florida's first settlers to sandy soil, swamps, storms, and sweaty summers? That's to say nothing of those mosquitoes. In the second half of our show, we'll talk with historians and Seminole tribal leaders about Florida's earliest human inhabitants. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. What motivated early Floridians to move into the swampy, mosquito-infested area of South Florida? How did the Seminoles and other Native American people thrive in such a demanding environment? Coming up in the second half of our show today, we tackle a question posed by a curious Gulf Coast listener about life in Florida before modern conveniences. But first, in 1972, a new secretary to the city clerk reported to work in Fort Myers. The number one song the next week was I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. The city was smaller. The 1970 census pegged the population at just over 27,000, double what it was in 1950. It was a city experiencing a growth spurt that would last for decades, and that secretary would see it all. Marie Adams was promoted to deputy clerk in 1983. She became the city clerk in 1990, and just this week, Adams hung up her clerk cap and decided to retire. Monday was declared Marie Adams Day by the city council, and she was honored by the Florida Association of City Clerks with a resolution in her honor. Marie Adams joins us in the studio today to talk about her tenure and chat about the changes that she's seen in Fort Myers over the years. Marie, thanks for coming in on day two of your retirement.
Thank you for having me.
We are talking with the newly retired city clerk, Marie Adams, who spent just over four decades working with the city. Do you have a question or would you like to make a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and at Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So Marie, first, congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you so much.
How do you feel not going to work for two whole days?
Well, it's been different, but I've been very busy for my first 2 days of retirement.
Yeah?
Yes.
So take me back to 1972. Your first day of work was December 5th. Do you remember what brought you to the job of secretary to the city clerk?
It was unplanned. I had come to Florida from Ohio to visit a friend. I came through Fort Myers and liked it. I looked in the paper for a job. There were none there, and I went to an employment agency. And after they interviewed me, they said, "We have the perfect job for you." They sent me to City Hall. There were seven people that were interviewing for the job. And after they interviewed me, they said, "Can you start to work immediately?" And I said, "I'll be back tomorrow." And they said, "No, we mean immediately. Can you start today?" And I did. So for a job that I planned on staying at for a few months, and now 43 years later.
You really planned on staying there just for a few months?
I did.
Were you surprised they wanted you to work that day? What did they have you do on day one?
They had
to start training?
Start training, yes. They put me right to work doing filing, transcribing minutes, doing everything that happens in a city clerk's office.
What did you, do you remember how you felt that day?
I was pretty nervous about that day, but you know, everybody was very helpful, and I really loved the job.
So you're not originally from this area?
No, I'm not.
You're from Ohio. You said you had just graduated college and you came down, just happened to visit a friend, and you thought, well, let's see if there's a job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you walk in there and that was it. Were there a lot of other women in the workplace at the time?
In the clerk's office, there were quite a few women there working. They were accountants, payroll clerks, those type of things that were in the clerk's office.
So at that time, did you ever think that you might want to become a clerk yourself?
Not for the first couple years, I didn't, no. No, but I really loved all the activity in the clerk's office and the record keeping and the history that we were actually recording and preserving for future generations.
So what was Fort Myers like in the early 70s?
Very quiet town. You know, there was not much going on. The most interesting thing, I think, was the intersection of Cleveland and McGregor and MLK, where the bridge is, the 41 Bridge. There was a stop sign there to get through that intersection.
Oh. Yeah, so it was a lot less crowded.
Oh, a lot less crowded, yes.
It's gone through so many changes, and one of the first changes happened in the first year. You moved from one office to the other?
It did. I started working at City Hall at the corner of Heitman and Main Street in December, and in April we moved to the new City Hall on 2nd Street, where we're currently located. And it was a new City Hall built by Oscar Corbin, the mayor, and he had a referendum to get money to build that City Hall, and the referendum failed. So he used federal funding to build that City Hall. It's a four-story square building, and they called it Corbin's Cube. And people were complaining that they would have to come to City Hall now and ride an elevator to do business.
They were not excited to ride an elevator.
They were not. They wanted to do business on the first floor.
On the ground floor only. Were you on the fourth floor?
I was on the fourth floor, yes.
Oh, so they just didn't want to have to go all the way up there.
No.
Well, people always have opinions about one way or the other.
There were not many buildings in Fort Myers with elevators back at that time. And yeah, they were used to walking into City Hall and doing business.
What was the office space like? A lot of people are kind of informed of 60s and 70s office spaces by things like Mad Men, you know, where people are smoking in the office and there are typewriters. I mean, people were allowed to smoke back then.
People were allowed to smoke in the offices back then.
Yeah. So what was it like? It was just kind of hustle bustle and you always hear the clicking of typewriters.
Mm-hmm. There were typewriters and smoking and, you know, it was a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And then we got computers. I had the first computer in City Hall, and it was known as a word processor back then.
What year was that? Do you remember? Like about?
I would say early 74.
Oh, so there was a computer already then?
Yeah.
And well, that was just for the record keeping?
It was a standalone word processor that was huge.
Yeah.
And I had the first one in City Hall.
Yeah, far cry from a laptop or an iPad.
Oh, absolutely.
They were pieces of furniture back then almost.
They were pieces of furniture.
So how much did computers change the way that you do your job?
Oh, immensely. You know,
I mean, technology took a lot of leaps in the last 43 years. And you said you had that first word processor in 74, but things really did kind of speed up and change.
It did. When I started, the notes for minutes were not recorded and you took notes by hand. Now it's recorded audio, video, and notes are taken on a computer with a program.
So you would hand write and then retype later?
Yes.
That's how you took minutes? Mm-hmm. So you told me when we were talking before the show about your love and great desire to take minutes. You were in 4-H when you were in Ohio when you were younger?
When I was 8 years old, I joined 4-H, and I loved the thought of taking minutes and recording what happened at the meeting, which I never got to do. But I never lost that desire to keep history. You know, I was always making lists of all my toys or anything I could make a list of. I would do that and document it.
You always just wanted to record things for posterity.
I did.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you would make lists of your mom's things.
I did. Yes, I did. Anything that I could make a list of to keep a record of it, I did that.
So there's an adage of people that are born to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And you were born to record things and keep the history of it.
I was.
Are you kind of like a history nerd? Do you like looking at historic documents and things like that?
I love looking at historic documents, the original one. There's nothing like holding the deed from Mina Edison from the Edison home with her original signature on it in your hand.
So that's one of the more exciting things to me because I'm also kind of a bit of a history nerd and a research nerd. But and I use the word nerd freely here. But when you think about history, and one of the duties of the city clerk is to maintain those historical records.
It is.
So what do you have to do?
There's a vault, temperature controlled vault in my office, and all of the history permanent documents are in that vault. We have the handwritten minutes of the first city council meeting in 1885 that was there. And during my tenure as clerk, I had those books restored so, you know, they would remain. And I always laugh when the first meeting of city council, they were concerned about sewage going into the Caloosahatchee Bay, they called it. And we're still concerned about that. We're still concerned about water quality. But that was the first ordinance that city council adopted, was that people couldn't let the contents of their privies go into the Caloosahatchee River.
Wow. When was that? What? 1885,
yes.
1885. Mm-hmm. So that was the first city council minutes that you have.
Yes.
So, well, not that you personally have, but
no,
that you –
but that's at the city, yes.
Now, when you have old documents like that, they're really fragile. I would imagine humidity control is an issue too.
It does, but we control the humidity in the vault, and they're all in really good shape, you know. And we're – the old documents, we put on white cotton gloves when we handle them to keep the oil off of the documents. And the documents that are created now are on archival paper. They're signed with archival ink, so there's no acid in it, and they're filed in archival folders. So we're, you know, everybody in the clerk's office, every day you're preserving history for future generations. And as far as minutes go, you have to be careful how you write them so you don't change the meaning, but you want them to be clear enough that people 100, 150 years from now, they're going to be able to read those minutes and know what we were doing today.
And also know what you were doing without having the opinion or the feeling or anything of the person taking the minutes.
That is exactly right. And I had a really unusual occurrence on December 1st, 2016. I got a phone call for a record, and they needed the record. It was a deal breaker. And they said, "You're my last hope if you can solve this for me." And while I was on the phone talking, of course, all of our records are digitized now, I found the exact document that was needed. And City Council took action on it on December 1st, 1916, exactly 100 years to the day. So those old records are used all the time.
So it was a record from 1816?
No, it was a record from 1916 that I found in 2016.
Oh, 1916, okay.
Yes, it was exactly 100 years to the day that they needed that record.
Oh, well, that's really amazing. And that's about land or something?
Yes, it was. It was about a vacation of a street downtown.
Oh, well, that's really interesting. You're always using that. And the fact that everything's digitized makes it easier to access and makes those old documents less vulnerable.
It does, yes.
It's easier for you to access and be able to look them up. They're all cataloged. And it seems like there is no amount of – there's no piece of data that's too small to be recorded. I was taking a look through the website, mm-hmm. and I was looking at election finance reports of 40 – I mean, this is just from last year. Mm-hmm. And it's a scanned copy of somebody's receipts of $49.51 for what a city council person, I think it was, that had in donations. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of that is recorded down to the cent.
It is. Yes, it is. It's by state law they have to report that, whether it's a contribution or an expenditure.
Yeah. And so – and you have that available out there. But I mean, and you never know when something like that is going to be needed.
Exactly right. You never know what any little piece of information, when that's going to be critical for what's happening in the city.
So we're talking with the newly retired city clerk of Fort Myers, who spent 43 years working in the office of keeping the city's records. Give us a call with your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Now tell me a little bit about the other duties of the city clerk. I mean, a lot of people come into contact with the county clerk.
They do.
So what is the city clerk's role?
The city clerk's role is a qualifying officer for the municipal elections to record all the official actions of city council at their meetings, to also preserve the contracts, leases, agreements with people, prepare ordinances, which are the laws for the city, and resolutions, to fulfill public records requests and keep the records of the entire city, and to supervise and keep the records of the Fort Myers Cemetery.
Now, as far as records requests, I'm imagining that got a lot easier with the dawn of computers and cataloging things.
As it got easier, the number of requests increased, so it's really still not easy.
So it's a net zero.
Yes, that is exactly right.
So and I found it really interesting when I was looking at the list of duties. There is maintaining cemetery records, maintenance of cemetery property, and supervising the sale of cemetery plots. Those are three things relating to cemeteries. Why is that?
Well, number one, goes back to the preservation of records again, and then the supervision of the laborers and the workers there. That's something relatively new to the clerk's office, but it seemed to make a good fit. And our cemetery has a lot of history. There's wonderful stories about the people who are buried out there. So I've really enjoyed that part of it.
Is there one city cemetery?
There is one. It's 67 acres.
Oh, it's 67. And then there are other cemeteries that are privately owned?
That is correct.
I would imagine. Okay.
Yes.
But who is in the city cemetery? Is it full?
No, it is not full. We have funerals there, you know, every week. But former mayors, pioneers, the, you know, founding fathers of the city are buried there.
And there's a relation between the duties of the county, the city clerk with the cemetery to something from when you were younger. You were telling me your first job.
I was. My first job was mowing the cemetery in my hometown when I was a teenager.
Yeah, so maintaining and mm-hmm. preserving that past.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. kind of like a thread that's run ever since.
It definitely is a thread, yes.
Since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And you said that you find them intriguing and interesting, the cemeteries.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Who is somebody that you find what do you think about when you think about the city cemetery and some of that history that's there?
Well, as far as preserving it for future generations to make sure that, you know, people are where, you know, they say where they are and keeping track of the records. So when families come in doing genealogy, it's easy to locate their ancestors.
Yeah. So what is – back to the – what is the oldest document that you've seen there at the City Hall?
It has to be the organizational meeting from when the first meeting – it's called the call meeting to actually incorporate the town. And they had three meetings, and it called for all the registered voters to come. And there's the legal description of the boundary of Fort Myers at that time. And, of course, back in the 1800s, Fort Myers was in Monroe County. So all of those official incorporation documents are filed in Key West because that was the county seat. And since that time, there's Collier County and now Lee County. So can you imagine back in 1885, how long it took them to get those documents to Key West to get them recorded.
Well, it amazes me to this day how long it takes to drive to Key West.
Exactly. So they either had to go by horseback or by boat.
Yeah, by boat. I would think boat would be.
Yeah. I don't know how they went, but it must have been quite a journey.
Yeah. It's and a dangerous journey, too.
Yes.
So when you're acting as the qualifying officer for municipal elections, what does that mean?
Well, there's our charter sets forth certain qualifications if you want to run for mayor or for city council, and then there's a state law you have to follow. So, you know, they have to live in the ward for 6 continuous months prior to the last day of qualifying, and then for mayor it's for 1 year continuous in the city. And they have to take an oath that they are serving in no other official capacity and that they are qualified to run. And they pay a qualifying fee to the city the state assessment fee, and they have to fill out a statement of financial interest.
So you're the one that checks all that out?
Yes. And then after qualifying is over, there's a special city council meeting that the clerk certifies to city council that these people are qualified to run.
Are there any memorable elections that come to mind?
Well, probably the most memorable election was when some citizens in Fort Myers circulated a petition to change the form of government because we had a strong mayor form of government known as mayor council. And about 10 years ago, there was a referendum to change the form of government in Fort Myers to a council manager form of government. Back in the 20s, for about 7 or 8 years, we had a city manager. And then after that, we went back to the strong mayor. So we had a strong mayor form of government for many years. And now we have a council manager form of government.
That's pretty big change.
It was a huge change. People were used to going to the mayor for direction. And then all of a sudden, they could no longer go to the mayor. They had to go to the city manager.
And then I would imagine then also through the council.
Exactly.
I mean, the manager, but the manager is kind of acting for the council.
Yes.
And definitely not independently, right?
No. The elected officials hire the manager, but all employees except the city attorney report to the manager.
So what is something that that you think a lot of people don't know about Fort Myers in the last 43 years?
Well, probably now that, you know, everyone wants to talk to the mayor, which is normal. But in fact, the mayor is a member of city council now. So the city manager runs the day-to-day activities of the city. That's probably the biggest thing I would think.
So you're kind of referred to as the unofficial historian
Yes.
of the city of Fort Myers. Is there any unofficial history that you can share with us on the radio that won't get anybody in trouble?
Not that I can think of right now.
Any memorable characters that stand out?
We've had a lot of elected officials that all have their individual personalities, and they've all contributed something positive to the city.
Yeah. And yes. Well, how many mayors have you worked with?
I believe it's 7.
7?
And the unusual thing is when I started working for the city, Oscar Corbin was the mayor, and now Randy Henderson, his son-in-law, is the mayor.
Oh.
So I came in with his father-in-law, and I left under under Randy Henderson.
That's kind of a unique situation. As big as a city gets, it's still kind of a small town, right?
It is a small town, yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about downtown, where you've been working all this time? It's undergone a lot of changes.
Yes, downtown is beautiful. It's drawing a lot of people. There's a lot of activities, and it's you know, going to continue to get better.
It went through kind of a sad period there, though, didn't it?
It did. Back in the 70s, when I arrived in town, downtown was thriving. And then they decided to make the streets one way, and it kind of killed all the businesses. And it was a time when shopping malls were taking over, but it seemed to be that one-way street that really killed the businesses. And it's taken all this time to really rebuild downtown.
I mean, and back in the 70s, was Edison Mall even there?
It was there, but it was only the front part of it was the only thing that was there. They added the back part later.
And then you get the 80s urban sprawl, and then things kind of go that direction. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, yes. that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. So what do you think the biggest challenges facing Fort Myers are in the future? I mean, what kind of history do you anticipate being cataloged going forward?
I think having enough money to be able to do the things that we need to do to progress is going to be a big issue, you know. And, you know, it's getting people in office that are really concerned about the future of the history.
Yeah. So one last question before we go. I want to ask you, what are your plans going forward? Travel, write a memoir?
I'm going to be doing some traveling, and I'm going to, of course, continue pursuing my bird photography.
So bird photography?
Yes.
Do you think that maybe you'll be putting together a blog so people can share in your bird photography? I think we'd all like to see.
Possibly, yes. I hope to have some more exhibits. I've had several over the last few years. And so I hope to have some more exhibits.
That's kind of been a hobby of yours then for a while?
It has. Actually, photography has been a hobby of mine since I was about 7 years old. And about 12 years ago, I became really serious about bird photography, and I've been actively pursuing that.
As again, it's documenting history, but with an image, again.
It is. And occasionally I'll take like a trip around Fort Myers, and I've done this over the years since I've lived here, and I take photographs of things, and I can look back and see how everything has changed over the years.
What is one of the biggest changes? Obviously, you mentioned that intersection there going over the bridge, but what's something that really stands out to you, one of the changes in Fort Myers?
The high rises downtown.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That has really changed the face.
That has really changed the face of Fort Myers.
And so you're going to be road tripping, going around the country a little bit?
I am. Yes, I'm going to be going to Texas. I'm going to be going to Mount Rushmore. And so it'll be, a new adventure for me.
That'll be fun. And be sure to let us know if you do end up putting together a travelogue or a blog. Or,
I will.
And write a lot of notes, because you never know if you want to write that memoir.
Exactly.
All right. Well, again, congratulations and thanks for coming to talk with us today on day two of retirement. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your 40 years of service with the city.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your retirement.
I will.
Coming up, we'll be talking about what brought people to Florida in the first place before roadways and air conditioning. We'll be right back.
Too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back.